Hi, this is Andrew Phillips. Thank you for downloading the Graymere Church of Christ Sermon Podcast. If you have any questions or if you'd like to contact us, check out our website at graymere.com. We'd also love for you to visit with us in a worship service. You're always welcome at Graymere Church of Christ.
To say that I'm happy and honored to be here tonight really doesn't do it justice. I really appreciate the elders here and you as a congregation making it possible for me to continue to go to India. I really hope this doesn't come across as just somebody's home movies or there are a lot of pictures, but it's kind of difficult to condense 3 or 4 weeks in a place. But I wanted you to know this is your work. It's the Lord's work, but it's being carried on because of you. And I hope that the presentation tonight will be such that you'll be interested in it and realize the worthwhileness of it. It is a great work, and I hope tonight we can at least let you see some of that, of what's going on. I understand that Dr. Robinson and Kathy are here. They said they were going to try to come tonight, and we are indebted to him because Brother Dr. Robinson is the one who really initiated this work many, many years ago. Jack, I don't know of a more appropriate song than the one you just led us in. The gospel is indeed for all. And the psalmist said, "Give praise to the Lord, proclaim his name, make known among the nations what he has done." And I think this passage likewise is significant. "For this is what the Lord has commanded us. I have made you a light for the Gentiles that you may bring salvation to the ends of the earth." Graymere has probably been involved in the work in India as long as most any congregation I know of. I don't know the exact amount. I think Brother Charles Thigpen's wife, Juanita, is here tonight. She said she was going to try to come. And I wish I had had the opportunity to ask her what year it was that Charles Thigpen first went to India. But it's been more than 30 years because I've been going that long. So it's resulted in a lot of good work, congregations, souls being saved. And what more could we ask about a work that you are supporting than that it is reaching people with the gospel of Christ? But in order to go into places like India, a congregation like you has to be willing to send someone to do that. How then shall they call on him in whom they've not believed? And how shall they believe in him whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except someone send them? And you've been doing that now for a long time. And so thankful for Jonathan and his interest in continuing to carry on this work. You see the number 15 down at the bottom of that slide. I'm not sure how many. I know at least 15 people from this congregation have gone into this mission field. 3 or 4 different elders have been over the years. I think that's great. But it is something that many from the congregation, men and women, have had a part in. Just to kind of show you where we went on this particular trip, went into Amsterdam and then down to Bombay, and then we started our work in Chennai. There is an old axiom: opportunity plus ability equals responsibility. I think Graymere has bought into that axiom. You do have the opportunity. You obviously have the ability to do a work like this, and you have taken that responsibility, and really good things have come as a result of it. Our work now, at least on this particular trip, we were down around Chennai in that area, and then also up around Hubli and into Goa. I don't have them all listed here, and I'm not going to try to tell you about every one of them, but we did visit about 19 different congregations, different works in India on this particular trip. On this trip, there were 2 elders that were with us from Searcy, Arkansas, actually Bald Knob, Arkansas. Great men. You have sent me from Graymere. Linda Smith, a cousin of mine from Chapel, Woodson Chapel, and Jackie Hill. She and her husband, Jim, are here tonight from Barry's Chapel, and they, too, are very involved in this work. We got there about 7 o'clock in the morning. G. David, the little fella in that picture, met us, his daughter and son. Flowers, they made us feel welcome after a long, long trip. First thing that we did after settling in was to go out to the college because Graymere underwrites this work. There have been more than 500 preachers that have been trained, some of them with master's degree from this college, that are now preaching not only in India, but in Bangladesh, in Burma, Myanmar, other places as well. So it's really been a springboard to take the gospel into not only India, but other countries as well. Graymere is really the primary supporter of this work. I wanted to show you where the students, the men, the boys, are living. They're there for several years. This is up on the roof of the building. It's hot as fire. And then you look at the living conditions. For several years, these fellows are sleeping on a concrete floor, been trying to somehow get some beds, bunk beds or something for them. And they have got those beds now. They need 56. They try to keep the enrollment each year, new students coming into that. Beds cost about $30 each. Graymere, the elders, have already provided $1,000 of that. But they are still in need of $650. And so if anybody wants to buy a bed, here's your opportunity. But it's just kind of pitiful to see them sleeping on the floor. Of course, a lot of the Indian people do that. They have set up a studio there in that building as well, Brother Peter Solomon, who was here not long ago, and they have a tremendous television program going on. Has a potential viewing audience of 90 million people. I cannot really comprehend that, but they're broadcasting every day with that kind of potential viewing audience, and they are getting tremendous results. Many Bible correspondence courses and conversions as a result of this. They're speaking in six different languages. Good is coming from this. And this is their little studio. They have a green screen, and on that screen, kind of like the weatherman here, they can depict anything. So you might be in a living room, you might be in a big building, you might be outside somewhere. It's kind of interesting how they do that. They did let me do a few programs. One of the interesting things, Rick Combs is helping with this, but, you know, years and years ago, we had this program here at Graymere that I was doing, Stepping Stones from God's Word, and those old tapes are still around. And so they had asked for some of those, and they're using them in India. But the funny part about it is, you know, I started that when I was a young man. I was skinny and blackheaded at that time. But as the years went on, I got to be what you see now, an old man with gray hair. But they have started showing those old films at the inn. I'm white-headed, and if they keep showing them, I'm going to get younger and younger. And what is it, Dorian Gray? But that's going to be funny if that happens. While we were doing some programs, the ladies were having classes that Jackie and Linda taught, and the ladies over there really do appreciate when ladies from this country come. They were in the auditorium. They have a fine new auditorium there. A lot of ladies were there. I don't know what I'm doing with that night. We went up on a rooftop. We were up on a third floor. And actually there were more than 300 people there. It doesn't look like it in that picture, but it goes on around that corner and you can't really see them all. But we preached there that night, had big loudspeakers up. But across the street, there were two denominations going on at the same time. They had their loudspeakers going. There was a Church of India, which is a compilation of many denominations, and then the Catholic Church. And then there were some Muslims groups meeting on either side, and they had loudspeakers going, playing music. So we had quite an occasion that night with us loudspeakers, and it was interesting. When they come up, and this was one of the staircases going up on the roof, they do take their shoes off, and I just thought that was interesting and wondered how in the world they find their shoes when they get ready to go home. But they always take them off. Preachers over there preach barefooted. It's interesting. Then the next morning, we had Sunday morning worship there where Brother Solomon and Emmanuel are. This, as far as I know, is the first congregation in India to have elders. Gradually more and more are. These men at the front are some of the elders there. But Solomon started that congregation in his home with his wife and two daughters. they began to convert others. Then they added a little shelter on to the end of their little dwelling. Didn't have any sides on it, but it has grown into this now. But don't say that it can't be done. One man and his family started a congregation in their home, and now there's a congregation of over 1,000 that meets there. In fact, we even in this new auditorium, and by the way, the children, and it encourages me to see so many young people, young men. This is the next generation coming along of Christians in that country. But even with that auditorium, there are people that had to stand outside, could not get in, and even up in the balcony area, some standing out on a landing. So it's amazing to see what's going on there. As soon as that service was over, we went across town to a YMCA building where there's another congregation, and we worshiped with them there. As soon as that service was over, we went to another congregation that meets in another YMCA. And all of these are encouraged by Graymere, so we had a service there as well. This is the area where we were working. We're in Chennai, we're going up to Tripathi, and then up to Nellore. All of these are works that you as a congregation are supporting and helping. Well, the next morning, Monday morning, we started out. They've got good transportation now, good cars. So we're on our way now to Benin-Agar. It's about a 95-mile trip. Took us about 3.5 hours. Roads are not exactly what we have here, nor the traffic. We were also going to stop at a place coming back called Puda, where they had a preacher school. But when you're traveling over there, sometimes you do just have to kind of wait to see what the traffic's going to be. If you look at that picture, you see not only motorcycles and buses and pedestrians, but a lot of goats. And they seem to have the right-of-way, whether it's cows or animals, and you just have to kind of wait until they get out of the way. But we were making our trip, and as we went along, many, many times we would see these huge monkey god statues. If you look at the size of the truck in the bottom of that picture, you can get a little bit of perspective of how large these statues of monkeys are. And people will walk for miles to go to where they are to have some kind of service. When we got to Tripathi, it is somewhat like Acts or like Athens that you read of in the 17th chapter of Acts, where they had the Parthenon and all the temples and the various idols in Athens. Well, this city is really the temple city of India. In fact, the only building or kind of worship of this kind that has more people visiting would be the Vatican. In fact, it's hard to believe, but it's said that there are something like 150,000 people visit this place every day. And so anytime that you're there, you'll see people walking down the road to come to this place. And they shave their heads, sell the hair, and so forth. But it is quite a place. But we have the Lord's Church there now. And a good congregation has developed. This is Vijay and Sarupa, his wife. They graduated with a regular college degree and then went to the National Bible College for several more years, and he's just doing a great work. You as a congregation support this man. They've set up a little library here now. When we first started going over there years ago with Charles, there was no building at all. They were just meeting kind of in a tent affair. But over the years, they've been able to build a nice little church building, have a good congregation there now. They have classes going on kind of a regular basis for denominational preachers and leaders. They usually have about 35 at a time, and they're converting many of them. And people are anxious for the truth. But that's a good work that Graymere has in India. They just put up this big sign on a wall around the building, and he was talking about how the school children, as they pass by here, could see all of these things. And they have classes for children as well. These men sitting at the front are some preachers. So we had a meeting there that day. We had several of us spoke on that occasion, but there was, this is a man I wanted to point out. This man is blind. And several years ago, I happened to mention him when I was trying to report to you about this man. And Ken Young's little boy, as they were leaving, said to his daddy, "I'd like to help those blind people." And his daddy said, "All right." And he went, and I don't know that it was a piggy bank, but he took his little bank, took all the money out of it, and for a year he supported this man. I just thought that was touching. And this man is still very faithful, worshiping there with the church. We had some good services there while we were with those people. Now, these are three village preachers that are being supported by an individual in this congregation. These men don't have much. They are baptizing people. They are converting. They're doing great things, but they're out in some very, very remote village areas and have no help at all. And because we're able to give them a little bit, it really has made a difference in their work. And just had an opportunity to sit down and meet with them for a while. This is Elisha baptizing one on that occasion. And then they always want to feed you. Not always sure what it is, but they do. They are very hospitable, and they want to help you. This man's name is N. James. It's also a man who receives a small amount of support from Graymere. His wife died a few years ago, had two daughters. They're both married and gone now. But he's meeting up on top of a very dilapidated house there, but Graymere's helping him. And then Dr. Prasanthi took Jackie Hill out to a leper colony. The various chapel congregation, Brother Hill, who's here, and others of that congregation have been helping these children of lepers. So when the children get home from school, they don't have leprosy. Their parents do. And there are about 50 of them there. And so when they come home from school, somebody will meet them and teach them some lessons, Bible lessons, and also feed them a good meal. And so that was a good work. And she went out to visit that evening while we were doing some other things. And then this is a school that has some 205 orphan girls, grade 6 to 10 in it. And they greeted us, lined up in a long line as we were coming in, and threw flower petals on us and clapped and so forth. It was quite an occasion. Even as Andrew will remember, passing out roses, I think Andrew had a huge bouquet of roses by the time he got to the end of that line, I think last year or year before. But they're still doing that. And my son John, that many of you may have remembered, died when I was on the way back from India about 2 years ago. And the Hills and some others were kind enough to set up a sewing center there for these girls to learn a trade. And they have named it the John Yvonne Sewing Center. And I appreciated that, and was able to give them a little help for cloth. And then the Hills and several others were buying sewing machines, too, on this occasion. But they have bought several others. But that gives these girls an opportunity to learn a trade when they have to leave there. After that, we did have an evening class there in Tripati. And had a good attendance at that. Several of us spoke on that occasion as well. And I included this picture. This is Larry Noakes, one of the elders from Arkansas. But beside him is Dr. Prasanthi. I mentioned the doctor went out with Jackie. Dr. Prasanthi has a good practice, but he will give it up while we're there and go with us for weeks to lead singing and to interpret if we need that or whatever help. And now he has decided that he wants to come to Heritage University and be trained more in the Bible. He's very good now, but he wants to be even to get a better education in the Bible, and trying to make arrangements for him to come over here. He wants to do full-time work in the church. But he's really a fine young man. After that, we were going to leave Tripati and go up another 85 miles to Nellore. Got there about 8:45 the next morning. This is Mohan and his wife, and then their daughter Anusha. She's the young lady, maybe you remember, I told you about being kidnapped. She was going to college. She'd ride one of those little three-wheelers every day to college, and one day the driver just kidnapped her and took her off. And it was weeks before they had any idea where she was, and only after they paid the police a bribe did they finally find the girl and bring her back home. But it was a very traumatic situation. But she is home now, and she's doing well. But, you know, they face things that are hard for us to really comprehend sometime. But Prasanthi here, the preacher's wife, is the one who has the sewing center there. By the way, this is where they're meeting. They did have a good place to meet, but they had to leave it. The Hindus basically ran them out. And so they've got this kind of makeshift place that they are meeting now, and they meet there for their worships. But they have to move everything out during the week so that Prasanthi can have her sewing center. And so it's kind of a makeshift thing now, but they're doing the best that they can with it. But you've heard me talk about, and probably Jonathan too, about Prasanthi having this classes where she teaches women in the neighborhood how to sew. And then she teaches them a Bible class. As a result of that, over the last 3 years, 25 people have been converted. That's really her aim, not necessarily to teach sewing, but she wants to teach them God's Word. And 18 students and 7 family members have been baptized into Christ. These are, as you look at that picture, you can see these are pedal sewing machines, but it's quite an operation they have there, and it's doing good. They really need some land, but it's so expensive there. But they're hoping someday they can get some land and put some kind of a building on that. Also, when we're in Nellore, we generally go out to what's called a circus village. It's the poorest of the poor. You cannot even imagine the living conditions they have. It's not even a tent. It's just, well, I don't know how to describe it. But I had wondered sometime about why they call it the circus village. And it's because these people make their living by going out and performing some kind of little service, circus. And then they'll pass a plate around, and people standing around watching it will put a little money in, and that's what they live off of. But in that picture, on I guess it's the left, that's a little girl. She has climbed up a bamboo pole, just a rough bamboo pole, and she's laying on her back on top of that bamboo pole. And that's the kind of acts they put on, and people come around and watch. And then the young man there, the boy, has climbed up and is just lying on his stomach on top of a bamboo pole. And they did a lot of just showing us what they did. But Mohan and his wife have done a lot to help these people and teaching them, preaching there. And on this occasion, we were able to give out a good many Bibles and saris, the dress of the women, and bags of rice to help these people. So that was a good evening. Dennis, one of the elders, had a bag full of candy. He was a popular man. I don't think in this next picture you can see much. Just the headlights of the cars were on it, but those are just rags put over some kind of frame, maybe wood, bamboo or something. That's what they live in. Dirt road, very pitiful. Well, from Nellore, we were going to come down south to Sulipet, where another work that we are involved with. We're going to stop also at a place called Gudar, which Graymere also has a part in. They have a good building there. They've had it for several years. And this is Sharish, who preaches there. So we stopped with them. Then we went on down to Sulipet. That's their rocket center. They have quite an extensive rocket program going on. But the man that we help and support, Graymere does, is Dan Ajaya and his wife, Sue Jatha. She works for the rocket center. And so they're able to live in houses that are provided by the government, and so that helps them. But we went out to the children's home that Charles Thigpen helped start several years ago, and Graymere has had a tremendous part in this. But these children have been living out here in this area for a long time. Brother Larry Noakes brought dresses that one of the ladies in the congregation, where he is an elder, had handmade about 60, at least many dresses, for these children. They were tickled to death to get that, but each of them a little bit different. Jackie Hill has provided clothes for them on several different occasions too, but these were brought to the children on this occasion. They had their meal, and they sit down on the ground, eat with their fingers. But they now have a new building that Dana Jaya has overseen and built. Most of the money for this unbelievably nice building, where they're going to move the children, has come from Brother Larry Noakes from Arkansas, who has the ability to raise funds, and he has raised. There have been some given from people in this area as well, but the majority of it, I think, came from him. And they'll use this building for several things. There's a congregation, a new congregation there now, that will meet on the second floor. The boys will be on the top floor. The bottom floor will be where they eat, and they can also have various meetings and other activities, even weddings there if they choose to do so. So it's really unbelievable. And this is the home across the street where the girls will stay. Originally, they were all going to stay in that first building. The government said, no, the girls and the boys can't stay in the same building. So there was a house there, and they kind of renovated it for the girls to live in. So they're going to have really nice facilities from here on out. When we got ready for this, Jackie and Linda cut the ribbon for the girls' building. The two elders, Dennis, for where they were going to eat, and Larry for where the boys were going to live, and they let me cut the ribbon for where the church is going to be meeting. But I thought this was interesting, what they put up there, dedicated to Jehovah God, by gifts from members of the Church of Christ in the U.S. and India. It is a fine building. And this touched me. They said, come over here and pull this cord. And I did, and this is what they have put there. They remember Charles. They're so thankful to him, and they wanted him to be recognized on this occasion. So they had this sign as well. I couldn't help but think about years ago when Charles cut the ribbon for that first little building where they had been staying for several years. But we owe Charles, they owe Charles a great deal for what he did there. Appreciated him. But inside, it's beautiful. Marble floors. That sounds extravagant, but really marble's very cheap in India. So it's not as elaborate as it sounds like or looks like. But it'll be very permanent, but it's not expensive in India. But this is the area where they will have their church services and other things. Maybe you remember me. I'm not doing very well with this, am I? This is the young lady who she and her sister were in a Hindu family, and they started coming to worship with the Lord's church. And when their parents found out about it, they beat them, forbid them to come. And when I say they beat them, I mean beat them. They kicked them. They were really just horrible to them. And the girls finally ran away from home. They were going to put Dana Jaya, the preacher, in jail. He didn't know really where they were, though. Finally, they found the girls, brought them back home, forbid them to go. But this girl finally was able to slip out, and she comes to worship. And I've never seen her since those days that she didn't have that book in her hands, in her arms, as you see her holding it there. Her parents cannot read, and they think it is her school books. But what she has done is copy the Bible. And in that folder, she has her copy of the Bible, and she keeps it constantly. Several of you helped her several years ago to get an education. She has now finished college. She has finished a master's degree in physics. She'd like to go on someday and get a doctor's degree. She's very, very intelligent, but so dedicated to the Lord, and helps in every way she can. But I just thought some of you who had helped her might be happy to see how well she's doing now. The other girl is married and has moved away. This is just part of the service that we had there, singing, praying, and making comments about it. Gave out a lot of Bibles to the men who actually constructed those buildings. This is where we were just passing out some Bibles to them. I also had a baptism while they were there. They have built a baptistry just at the side of the new children's home. And like us, they like to eat. That's a big platter of rice. They have a spatula that looks like a shovel that they shovel that out with. And then they eat with their fingers. They'll set up a table for us and give us a fork, but then they turn around and they like to eat with their fingers. After that, we went back down to Poudre, where there is a two-year preacher training school, and met with them. That was a good occasion as well. These ladies that you see there were also taking some classes, and the preachers are in the white shirts behind that, and we were able to speak to them on graduation day, and I think there were 31 of them that received certificates and graduated that day. So these were the graduates along with our group on that day. That was a good day as well. It's just encouraging, brethren, to see how they're training people, and they're so dedicated, and they'll spend years in the study of the Bible. And then they, as Charles used to say, they don't know they're not supposed to go out and convert people. They just do it and have good results. And so then after that, we traveled on to Brother Daniel's place. And here primarily they had ladies' classes that Jackie taught and Linda taught, the ladies there. And did just a great job with that. And while we were there, there were 6 baptisms on that occasion, 5 of them pictured here. A good preacher there that Graymere helps. Then we journeyed on to another place where a preacher named John David is working. This was really, really out in the boonies. I mean, I'd never been here before, and I thought we were never going to get there. And we just kept going, but finally got there and had a good service there that evening as well. And at the end of the service, you can see this is a very rural area where we are. And, but there were 2 baptisms here. That's Brother David Sagayam that the, Barry's Chapel supports. And, he had taught these people and baptized them. It's really, really touching to see these people. It takes a lot of courage to become a Christian in India, when 90-something percent of them are Muslim, not Muslim, but Hindus. But I thought this also, this young lady had a scooter, and how many of us would be willing to put that on our scooter? Praise the Lord, in a country where Christians are in such a minority. It was getting late by the time we left there that evening, but there was one other place we needed to go. And we were late getting there. These people had already been waiting 2 hours. But that's another thing that's common in India. They will wait for hours for you to come. If you tell them you're coming, they'll wait. So we had a meeting there late that night. And then the next morning, the Sunday, had worship again there at Chennai. And then after that, we were going to have the lectureship and graduation. And these are the young men, and there's some young ladies in here that have also been taking Bible classes. But this is the college that you as a congregation really underwrite, make it possible to train these preachers. And as I mentioned earlier, there have been over 500 of them now that have graduated from this school. Well, we just spoke to them on the graduation. Brother Peter Solomon, some of you got to hear him a few weeks ago, months ago. An amazing man. He reminds me of Ira North in the sense that he's a visionary. He's not flamboyant like Brother North was, but he's such a visionary, and he has just done amazing things and is highly respected there, giving out certificates for graduation. Then from there, we were going to go up to Hubilee. About a 500-mile trip, we had to fly up there, had a 5-hour layover in Bangalore. When I was a little boy, I remember seeing my first jets, and I thought, I do not want to ever get on an airplane that doesn't have propellers. Now I dread it. I don't want to get on these propeller-driven airplanes. But we made it fine and finally got to Hubilee. And when we got there, and this is a good work that Northview has really taken a great part in. And this is Joel on the left. He and his son, one of his sons, were meeting us at the airport. And primarily because of the Northview congregation, but also because several of you have helped, they have a house. I think Jonathan came back on one occasion and mentioned to you how these people were living in one room, about 9 by 9, 10 by 10, two grown big boys, teenage boys, a man and his wife, and they had for several years been living in that. Because they had been run out of their house, they couldn't go back to because of the Hindu neighborhood. But now they have a really nice house, and thanks to Northview and a few individuals, they even have a car, and they really needed that. And I'll remind you why. These are his boys. They're just really, one of them is already saying that he's going to be a gospel preacher. They speak English extremely well. Fine boys. But Joel made this statement. He said at that time when they were living in that 9 by 9, at that time we have no rest, sleep, even no place to sit. We struggle very much. But this is their living room now. And they are, I don't know how many times I've seen Joel, when he mentions this, start crying. He just can't believe that brethren here have done something like this for them. And he will just weep, and his wife does as well, when they say thank you and how much they appreciate it. Jackie Hill bought his wife a stove, and she had to turn it on for us so we could see the fire there. But she is so proud of that. And she cooked us a meal, and the boys helped. And you can just see the joy in her face. She's a wonderful lady. But they fixed a meal for us. That was very good. Then Jackie taught some classes for the ladies. They had a large group of ladies that came there that she taught. Then they all wanted to have their picture made with her. They were sitting on the floor there as she taught in front. And if they want to honor you over there, they'll put that flowery lay around you. But if they really want to express appreciation, they'll also put that cloth around you. And they had done that. They appreciated what she had done for them. Then that night we had a meeting, preached, and the children again, always down front. I don't think you're going to be able to hear this, but they were singing. 2 or 3 years ago, Jackie and Linda taught the children the song, We're Part of the Family, in English. And those teenagers got up there that night, and they sang that song. It really was moving. But then we had a preaching that night. Next morning, we were going to leave to go to another place, look out our window while we were eating breakfast, and this is what you see, Hindu temples everywhere in India. And there's some of them very elaborate. We were going down to a place called Dandila, and Joel has started the congregation there. It's 50 miles from where he lives. But just on his own, he wanted to start a congregation of the Lord's Church down in this area. He went down there for a long time, just got to know people. Finally, when they trusted him, he said, do you want to have a Bible study? And some of them said yes. So now they do have a congregation there, and he goes down on a regular basis. He used to have to go down on these old buses, rickety, hot. Took him 6 hours to get down there from Hubilee, so he'd preach at Hubilee and then go down there. But primarily because of the generosity of the folks over at Northview, he does have an audible meal now. So rather than 6 hours, he can make that trip in 2 hours, and he goes 8 times a month down there and works with the church there as well. But as you go there, you have to go through this wildlife sanctuary, and elephants, tigers, panthers. Thankfully, during the day, you don't see those. We did see a lot of monkeys as we went along the way. But it was, I'll show you something else in just a few moments. But this is where the church is meeting. It's a very primitive kind of place down there, but they meet in this, they've been meeting in a member's house, but they're now renting a house where they can meet for worship. And it's good to go down. Joel's wife, amazing woman. She has taught these children, and there were about 25 of them finally that came in there. They could quote the genealogy from Abraham all the way back. They sang beautiful songs that our children sing in vacation Bible school and things, quote Bible verses. They were really well grounded, and just amazed me how well they did. But she has taught them those things. The church meets there, and they have about 25 in worship now, just starting from nothing. They always want to feed you. I think I've told you about the bananas. I really don't like Indian food, and they always want to give you something. And I was somewhere, and I saw some bananas. I like bananas. I figured I could peel that, and that would, you know, I wasn't going to get sick. Now everywhere I go, they got bananas. I've eaten more bananas in India than I have in my whole life. But so I've got my banana there on that occasion. But we had an outdoor meeting that night there, and had a pretty good crowd by the time we got started. Had a good meeting. Then Joel just sent me these pictures. We didn't see this, but a day or two ago, he was coming back from Dandala to Hubilee, and as they were coming down the road, this tiger did cross their path. Joel has done a great work there. He's baptized some 210 people in Jubilee and another 20, maybe more than that by now, down at Dandala. So good work going on there. And Graymere started that work, Charles did, and Northview for the last several years has taken that work over and just doing great with it. Well, next morning we were going to take a train to Goa. That's always an experience. If you look over to the right, you can see Hubilee, and then you see how far Dandala is out from that. It's a long way. But we're going to go all the way across over to Goa. Goa is the smallest state in India, very small. And we go to the city of Vasco da Gama. It was settled by the Portuguese. So we had to take a train. Carmela, the preacher's wife, had packed a lunch for us for that trip, which was very nice. And we all finally survived that six-hour train trip to Goa. We were all dead tired by that time, but we did make it. This is Jay Rao. Graymere supports this work. It's been going on for several years. Jay Rao's a good preacher, good teacher. He has written hundreds of songs, hymns, that they sing. This is the congregation part of it that meets there. I got sick there. First time I've been sick in India, and I can remember. Just a lot of congestion. But they went on out and met with some of them. They even met in a very nice home here and had services there. Then they went up to a place called Margot, another village near there, and had meetings there that went well. Subhash, he's the son of Jay Rao. He was just a little boy when the first time I went there, but now he's just not only has his practice, but is helping a great deal in the church. This is the Arabian Sea, and when they want to baptize someone, they go down to the Arabian Sea to baptize them. I didn't get to do much in Goa on this trip. I did get sick. In fact, I got sick enough that they took me to the hospital, and the doctor came in, examined me, put me on a gurney, took me back somewhere, gave me an IV with two different antibiotics in it, then filled five prescriptions, gave me all of that, and then how in the world am I going to pay for all of this? And when I got the bill, it was $47. So I could handle that, but I couldn't believe it. And it got me well. But Goa is a great place and a good work going on there. So on this particular trip, we did visit some 19 different works and congregations. There were 14 baptisms that we had opportunity to be with, others since then. So it was a good work all the way. But always good to come back home. This long trip from Bombay to Amsterdam and then on home. But it was very rewarding, and if the elders and you let me, and the Lord willing, I hope I can do it at least another time. But there is one faith, and that's the gospel of Jesus Christ. And this message, as the song we sang a moment ago says, it's for everyone. And the people in India, it's a field that truly is ripe unto harvest. They are anxious, so many of them, for it. And not everybody, but so many will accept it when given the opportunity. And thank God for Graymere, for this congregation, which is able. Not every congregation is able, but a congregation that's able and willing. I know congregations that could do things like this. They're just not willing. But what are we all about? Go into all the world and preach the gospel. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. And I'm so thankful for this building, but it's not about buildings. It's not about fellowship meals. It's about saving souls. And you're doing that. Not only in India, but other places, as Jonathan tells you about and goes, and many of you go. But that's great. And I think that's one of the greatest things about the Graymere congregation. You're sharing the gospel with those that need it, and with good results. And may God bless you for many years to have the interest and the desire and the ability and the willingness to take the gospel to others. The Lord will bless you. I can't think of anything greater in the judgment day than to know you had a part in saving souls, and you have. Well, it's wonderful to get to go. It's even better to come home. But it's the same gospel. And the invitation that is extended there or in Panama or in Peru or wherever it is the same. If you believe in Jesus as the Son of God and you're willing to confess that, not ashamed of Him, you'll stand up for Him and be willing to turn from your sin, which, you know, I don't know of anything that's harder than repentance, but that's part of it. Luke 13:3. And to be buried in baptism. You think about our Lord. He died. He was buried, but He was resurrected. And in baptism, you die to the old man of sin. You're buried. The sins are washed away, but there's that resurrection. You put off, Paul says, that old man, that's the sinner. Put on the new man, that's the Christian. And stay faithful to Him, and we'll have that home in heaven. And doubtless, you'll be able to see many people from India and other places because of your efforts. But if there's someone here tonight who has not yet accepted the Lord's invitation, there'll never be a better time. And we encourage you to do it while together we stand now and as we sing.